having an arranged marriage.
Secret marriage, okay.
Secret marriage.
My mum would kill me, by the way.
I did think you were too nice, and I was like, there's something wrong with this guy. Hello, and welcome to Colour Coded, the podcast where we talk about life, cultures, and relationships.
And we are in the beautiful countryside of Cornwall.
We've been staying in this little shepherd's hut that you can see behind us for the past 4 days. It's been a really lovely time. And we thought, what a better place to do our podcast episodes this week. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about me as a non-Muslim marrying a South Asian Muslim man and what my experience has been like, because I know that I get quite a lot of questions on this. I think it's a bit more of a, I mean, having said that, there are lots of people that reach out to us and we realise it's not super unique, but for people looking out in, our relationship is quite unique, and how that works and kind of the concerns that we had and fears that we had and how we've kind of got to the place that we are now, where we're very blessed to be. For those of you that don't know us, I'm Alex.
I'm Efsa.
And we got married last year, and we have kind of developed this beautiful bond between our families, us, but also our communities and our cultures. Should we start from the beginning?
Yeah. So I'll start with the first question.
Go on then.
What were your first thoughts of me when you first got to know me? Was there any preconceived ideas of getting to know an Asian man would be like, or?
So I think initially I didn't really have any, and I think growing up in a community like Cornwall, you don't really meet many different people. So although I kind of had some ideas, actually my knowledge of South Asia or South Asian communities and their cultures was very limited.
Yeah.
But also Islam, I didn't know a lot about Islam and what that was like. Only really what I'd seen on TV and media, which, in all honesty, and I've spoken about this on my socials before, is not a true depiction of actual Islam or Muslims or the communities. So I think when I first met you and we were kind of getting to know each other, I kind of was just really open-minded. I was like, yeah, he's a good-looking guy. He's nice. I like him. I did think you were too nice, though.
Okay.
That was one thing. I was very sceptical. I am a sceptical person anyway.
Yeah.
But I did think you were too nice. And I was like, there's something wrong with this guy. He's not okay. There's something up here. I actually realised there isn't, and he just...
I'm just nice.
Just a nice guy. But I think the first kind of thing when I was getting to know you, and I was like, okay, I actually see a future with you. I want to progress. I want to see where things go, which you know about. I don't know if you remember this. But I was convinced, because it was my biggest fear, that...
go on.
that you would end up going to Bangladesh or in the UK... and having an arranged marriage.
Secret marriage, okay.
secret marriage. And I wouldn't know about it. And because I hadn't met your family at that time, I was a bit worried that was going to happen. Yeah. Or my other like contrasting fear is that you were going to die and and I wouldn't be told about it because they didn't know who I was. So these are my two contrasting things. I was worried about those kind of things, okay? But anyway.
Again, going back to, you know, you... learning about it, South Asians and Islam through the media is not the best.
It's not accurate.
It's not the best. Obviously, it happens. There are instances where that has happened. And, but I know the news and the media will always highlight the negatives because that's what sells. But it's not a thing that is widespread in the Islamic community or in the Muslim community or in the South Asian community that, you know, again, it happens, but it's not as common as people think, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But also, funny thing is, she said that to me once. She said, oh, how do I know that you're not going to, that you don't have another family back home or in Bangladesh?
Another family. I wasn't worried that you were going to have secret family.
No, but remember, you did. We joked about it, maybe. No, we did joke about it, sorry. And then I'm like, oh, yeah. And I've got a very dry sense of humour. And I latched onto this, and every time there was a moment I'll just say I've got another wife in Bangladesh, or I've got a secret wife in London. And then she didn't know if I was telling the truth or not, but me, I just kept playing along and just it was funny. But obviously I was telling you it was
not
a joke.
Funny.
It
I don't remember this. I feel like I'm too traumatized to remember it.
Listen, I remember every time we would make a joke about it, I'm like, oh, maybe I do, maybe I don't. And it's just like, she's like, do you actually? And then I'm like, maybe. And I just left her guessing for ages. But obviously, I would always tell her, no, it's just me joking. It's just my sense of humour, very weird sense of humour.
But yeah. Thankfully, just to add to that, he does not have a wife back in Bangladesh.
No, no.
Or back in, or in the UK, for that matter.
Of course not. No, 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 no. I would never do that. I would never do that. My mum would kill me, by the way.
She would.
My mum would not allow that at all.
Amma would not be happy. She'd say, Balanai Afsa.
Exactly,
which means...
Not good.
Not good, Afsa. Well, actually say Balanai Shuam, your home name. But
again, you're a snitch. Us South Asian, we don't like our home name to be out there because it's a private thing, man.
Sorry. Now, I didn't know that. Learned something new.
Oh, I'm sure I told you. This is she's probably just getting back at me because of all the torture that I've basically
put me through.
Put you through.
But anyway, that was a legitimate concern of mine.
Yeah, yeah.
That you would,
I remember.
Or that, you know, because the thing is, when you are blending cultures and religions, I think it is easier to not have to do that.
Mm.
We have had to put a lot of work into our relationship to get it to the point where we feel that we know each other well enough.
Definitely.
This has not been, especially if you kind of follow on social media and you see, okay, we're very happy and everything's great. Yes, we have been happy, but actually it's taken us a really long time to fully understand each other. And along with that comes compromises. But I think one of the key things that I think we have learned from this, and if you are in a relationship, even if it's not culturally different, but you are in a relationship generally, is about being really open and honest.
Definitely.
And informing the other person. So for example, if there was, you know, I didn't really understand Ramadan fully. So when Afsa told me about Ramadan, he would give me all of the information so that I was fully equipped to understand what was it about, what was happening in it, why things are slightly different, so that when I came into it, it wasn't a shock. So I think, yeah, that kind of thing. I mean, you've always, I think for you, a big concern was that you feel that as you're getting older, you are becoming more religious and more connected to your religion.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
No, definitely, definitely. I'm taking my religion a little bit more serious than I did when I was younger. And reading a little bit more into it, trying to, you know, gain more knowledge as I get older. And I'm appreciating a lot more of my religion. And yeah, it's a beautiful thing. But also, I wanted to make sure that Alex was aware and never not surprised later on. So there was a lot of work in terms of, like, sometimes I think I might have overdone it. I thought I might have scared you away. But, like, I've always kind of tried to be as honest and upfront with you as possible. So I used to always try to tell you cultural things to look out for, you know, religious things that, you know, might affect our relationship or our stage at that time where we were getting to know each other. Because we had to have big pauses during Ramadan that we didn't talk to each other, we didn't barely interacted, and those things I had to kind of make you aware of, so there are no surprises. And then again, you don't think, oh, he's gone quiet and he's speaking to his wife, or he's gone to Bangladesh and he's not, you know, things like that. And I didn't want, again, because the media plays such a huge role in people's
preconceived ideas
of Muslims and South Asians, especially during this climate as well, with all the tensions. I had to make sure that you fully understood what you're getting yourself into, really. And
one thing about Afsa is he will think of the absolute worst case scenario. And he will then think about all the other scenarios linked to that worst case scenario and then play them all out and have to think in depth about each of them and how he would handle each scenario to ensure he knows exactly what to do. Which I think is great in some instances.
Yeah.
But sometimes I swear he was convinced that the worst would happen. So we had to do a little support with that, right?
Yeah, yeah. Again, that could easily backfire. But luckily, alhamdulillah, it didn't. I tried to get myself prepared and get the people around me prepared just in case what might happen. It's like, what's it? Prepare for the worst, but hope for the best.
Yeah.
That's my mindset. Yeah. And I know sometimes it's not the best way to kind of go about things because it could really eat away at you.
Yeah. But I think you've grown a lot from that, though, and I don't think that you do it quite as much. Still a little bit, but not quite as much.
Oh, thanks. Thank you. I appreciate
it. With the spamping, by the way, if you're wondering.
Yeah, yeah.
but I think some of the compromises that we had, maybe we should talk about those. So,
for example,
I think one of the big worries for you is dating someone that's very westernized.
Yeah.
For example, the fact that you do not drink alcohol and you've never touched it in your whole life.
Yeah.
I think that was a bit of a concern for you. Would you agree with me?
Well,
initially.
Initially, yeah. When you're getting to know someone and especially if they're from that culture, they might expect you to enjoy what they enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I want to have a common ground when I'm when we meet friends, how can I enjoy myself when you're not doing this? But then I made sure you knew that my enjoyment isn't to do with that side of things. Do you know what I mean? But at the same time as well, you made sure you made me aware that you're not a drinker. Mm-hmm. You're not much of a... You, at that time, you barely... Obviously, socially, but you never really touched it. So it wasn't really a massive issue. And we ended up finding out there were so many other common ground that we had in terms of how we enjoy our free time. 100%. And it never really involved any alcohol.
Yeah.
So I was never ever really around alcohol. Again, I'm used to it because most of my friends aren't Muslim, you know. I have a big group of friends that are Muslim. So I used to go to events where they're drinking and I'll have an orange juice.
Yeah.
You know. And they're very respectful about that as well. And again, you was very respectful about what, you know, what my deal breakers were, and one of them was like, you know, I would never touch alcohol.
And I think for some people, in fact, even when we tell people now, people are often shocked. They're like, you don't drink?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Not even at all? Like, how does this work without that? And I think because one big thing that was really eye-opening for me was how much the Western society, or like Britain, is surrounded around drinking.
Yeah.
It is such a huge thing here. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but for example, you know, after work, where do most people go?
Yeah, it's
they go to the pub.
Local,
on the weekend, yeah. Where do they go? To the pub, or they go out, they go drinking, you know, bottomless brunch. Like, this is a huge thing in Western society. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that necessarily, but as long as it's in moderation.
Definitely.
And I think being with you made me realise how much you don't need it.
Yeah.
How much it's not an integral part. Yeah. But it is just so normalised, and it can be quite dangerous, and it leads to, you know, some bad things for some people.
Yeah, definitely. There was obviously another one I did mention. Obviously, when we was getting to know each other at that stage, when it was slightly getting a little bit more serious, I did say I would love our children to be... I would like to raise children in the Islamic faith.
Yeah.
And again, I didn't know how that would sit with Alex, and... It's a big deal breaker for me. And again, I didn't expect her to say, give me an answer straight away, because it's quite heavy.
It is.
When I did mention that to you, I remember you was very like not accepting straight away. You're just like, okay.
But
you didn't give me a yes or a no, but then because we was together for so long, it didn't scare you,
no.
Which was very refreshing. But do you want to kind of tell me, like, what were your thoughts when I first said that? What was going through your mind?
Yeah. So I think by this point, we've been getting to know each other for a while, and I think I'd really started to understand Islam and see the beauty in it, which I definitely feel like I get a lot from you and your family and, you know, your siblings, and I get to really understand its true form and what it's like as a Muslim. And this is obviously not everybody's experience, but experience for you guys. And realised how beautiful it was.
Mm.
Had you have asked me that when we first met, I've probably been like, why are you asking me that? That's really odd. But now I realise how important that is to you.
Yeah.
And also how beautiful Islam is. For me, I'm more than happy for them to be growing up Muslim. That is not an issue for me. I'm happy for that. I think that's very beautiful.
Yeah.
And I would encourage it because I think that's something that's so important for you. Having said that, I want them to appreciate everybody.
Yeah.
So, you know, there will be, and this was part of our agreement, although they're not going to be celebrating Christmas in its Christian form, they will be going down to our in-laws, and that will be part of, you know, they will still be joining in with those celebrations, although not from the religious aspect, more from the cultural aspect.
Yeah, no, and again, in a relationship like ours, there has to be a lot of understanding and compromise and trade-offs here and there. So I was fully accepting of that. It's not a problem. And again, obviously we don't celebrate Christmas, but I love you. And what comes with you is that aspect of the family aspect of Christmas, gift giving, being with the family, fully on board with that. It's not a problem. I'm not going to go to Sunday mass. I'm not going to go to the, you know what I mean? But if I'm with the family, I'm more than happy to celebrate with them because it's a beautiful time to get people together.
And I definitely think, like, I know for a fact if people hear this, if you are Muslim, so there will be people that are criticising this.
Of course,
this decision. However, this is what works for us, and we have to understand that there are compromises on both sides.
Yeah.
And you can't have it all. And that doesn't mean that they're going to be any less Muslim or any less true to their faith because they are appreciating their, you know, their family and the people that are around them. And I think regardless of whether or not you think that that's right or wrong, this is our reality. And that's what we have decided to do.
No, definitely. What's beautiful as well is that you've learned so much about Islam as well. Being with myself and my family and learning so much is that whenever you go to school, you're kind of speaking to the kids. Whenever it's Ramadan, I remember you came over and you told the kids about Ramadan, and it really brought a smile to my face because like you was. And then one of the children was kind of giving you their stories, and it was like trading off, like, and it felt like you felt comfortable enough to talk about it because you've gained so much knowledge, and it was beautiful. And
yeah, or even like for example, when we had our nikah, I told one of the children that I work at a Christian faith school, but we have children from different religions at this school, and I told one of the children who I knew was Muslim, and she's very, very proud. So I went and said, you know, I had a nikah on the weekend, and her face lit up. She was like,
"That's beautiful.
That's my religion." And I was like, "Yeah, it is," and that's why I wanted to tell you. And she was so excited. And there was a day where we had to wear something that made us feel happy. So I initially wanted to wear my wedding dress, which I was like, "I cannot wear that. It's too much."
Imagine rocking up in that.
Literally, which is South Asian, by the way. It's South Asian style. So I thought, okay, I'll wear a kameez because I'm really enjoying getting to know the culture. I'm going to wear that, and I wore this, and I saw that same little girl. And when I tell you the joy that came into her faith was just so worth it. And I think it's just like kind of embracing and showing these different like religions, cultures, and showing it from a kind of a beautiful perspective rather than this kind of like negative attitude that can be in media sometimes.
Yeah, no, definitely. Also, just to give you like an idea of why South Asians appreciate people of a different culture appreciating their culture is because as South Asians, we, specifically being Bangladeshi, we don't really have people, because we've got such a negative connotation and negative media bias at the moment. Seeing someone of a different faith, different culture, appreciating ours, we take so much pride in it. It makes us feel so much more connected with our culture. And seeing that must be so beautiful, that young Asian girl, you know. Same again, the community that we've found as well, them seeing you integrating and understanding and learning about our culture, it makes them appreciate their culture a bit more and more. It makes them proud of the culture. It definitely does for me. I don't know about, like, seeing you love being in a South Asian culture and a family as well, it's really helping me to connect back to my roots. And
I love that.
Yeah, and that's another thing as well. Like, I didn't say anything. And I remember when me and you spoke about the future, the family. And because I remember I mentioned, unfortunately, my mother tongue was slightly fading away. I was forgetting words, I was forgetting phrases. And the first thing you said, when we have kids, you better speak to them in Bengali. So that's basically giving me the kick up the bum to start learning again with you.
Touch up your language. Yeah,
like, you know, top up my language skills and my Sileti skills. And we're learning together on this journey. That's what I'm so appreciative and so grateful for you as well, because you're pushing me to find this newfound love for my culture. And it's beautiful. So again, remember I was telling, like, it's all about exchanging energies, and your energy is very infectious for me anyway.
Thank you.
It does push me to fall in love with my, like I said, my culture, my religion, and my family.
That's part of, like, if you're in a relationship with somebody, you have to really get to know them, but also like everything around them. It's like their culture, their religion, their family, who they are as a person, things that make them tick, you know, and also their upbringing and what impact that's had on them as a person, how that's kind of formed them to who they are now. Because I think if you understand those kind of things, you connect on such a deep level and you really start to understand where people are coming from.
Obviously, after getting to know each other for a while, outlining, you know, what our non-negotiables are, or what we were looking for the future.
What the
compromises are. And obviously, alhamdulillah, thank God, everything, you know, aligned, and it's the big day to kind of meet my family.
Yeah.
Like, what were your feelings at that time? Because obviously, I speak about my family quite a lot, and I love my family. Like, we're very, very tight knit. What were your feelings? What initial thoughts when I spoke to you about my family before meeting them and after meeting them? What were your?
Okay, so Afsa holds his mum and auntie in very high regard. So I was very, very, very nervous. So basically, in Afsa's religion and I guess culture, I think the thing is really hard because they kind of blend together. So sometimes it's religious, sometimes it's cultural, sometimes it's a bit of both. But basically, when you meet the in-laws,
yes,
that basically means that you're going to get married.
Yeah.
Unless, obviously, things don't work out. Yeah. But normally, the only reason you would introduce the potential is because you want to get married to them. So I kind of knew when he first, said, actually, Alex, I want you to come and meet my mum and auntie. I kind of anticipated there would be potentially a proposal coming up. So I knew that this was high stakes.
Yeah.
This meeting was high stakes because if me and your mum and auntie were not going to get along, we're done.
Over. Pretty much, yeah.
Pretty much, okay?
So I can't even imagine the feelings you must have felt at that time because it is quite an intense thought. And,
it's huge.
It's huge.
It's a huge deal. And I think if you guys don't know us very well, Afsa's mum and auntie, they do speak some English, but not a huge amount. So I knew there was going to be the language barrier, the cultural barrier, but also the religious barrier. So there's a lot of things in there. So before I went, I made sure that I'd asked Afsa probably like a million and one questions.
Yeah.
What should I wear? How should I act? How should I be? Like, I wanted to be myself. And I have to add this, like, this was really important to me. So Tim, I'm not going to go in and be somebody else because they need to know who I am as a person. And I'm not going to change that for anybody. However, that doesn't mean that I can't be respectful. So, things like even down to, do I take my shoes off when I go into the house? Like, should I do that? Is it disrespectful? What should I wear? How should I dress? And how should I address them? Because in South Asian communities, you don't call them by their first name. So I would never call Afsa's mum and auntie their first name, whereas obviously in the Western society, that would be very normal. So I would call I don't even know what I called her at the beginning. Did I call her Amma straight away?
Yeah.
Did I?
Yeah, you did.
I'd already adopted her as my mother-in-law straight away. So I would call them Amma and Khala immediately rather than calling them their names. If I'd call them the names, that would be seen as quite
disrespectful.
Okay, so that was a bit tricky for me, understanding that. Also, in Islam, you eat with your right hand. So I always made sure that when I ate with my right hand. Those small things. I made sure that I knew before I went there, how I should behave, what would be seen as culturally disrespectful or religiously disrespectful. So I just made sure I had a kind of a bank of things that I knew I had to do, which obviously added pressure. So I think maybe we should talk about the first meeting. What was it like? You had some good advice, actually, about what I should bring with me. Yeah. So I knew I wanted to take something.
Yeah, I remember Alex said, I want them to get a good idea of who I am. So we've looked at what Alex could possibly bring or do on the day to kind of, something for them all to connect with. So I thought, my family, we love a cup of tea, right? And
this is a mutual thing, Bangladeshi, British.
Tea. We love tea, so we thought, let's do something around that. And then I thought, what's better? It would be even better if you bought something from Cornwall that you can have with a cup of tea. So first thing we thought of was
scones, jam and cream. Yeah. A little cream tea. So we literally brought some scones, some Cornish collard cream from Cornwall, and some jam.
Jam, yeah.
And we also bought some Cornish biscuits as well. So I just bought them like a little package of like things that we can enjoy together and eat. And I also bought them some flowers as well.
Flowers, yeah. Alex loves flowers, so she bought flowers. And it went down a treat.
Also the greeting, like for example, I wouldn't really say hello. You'd say assalamu alaikum.
Yes.
Which I wouldn't ever really, now I say it all the time, so it's very normal to me. But I wouldn't say that to like your siblings, would say hello or whatever.
Yeah.
So it was really strange to be like, assalamu alaikum, Amma, assalamu alaikum, Khala. But at the time, that did not roll off the tongue naturally like it does now.
No, yeah.
It felt really, strange. So obviously, I made sure I had that. We gave them the treats. We went inside. But when I tell you, I could not look your mum or auntie in the eye. I found it, bear in mind, my job is mainly working with people, looking in the eye. I present to, hundreds of people, doing all of this stuff. But for some reason, this was just so important. talking to your mum and auntie, I was struggling. I had to force myself to look them in the eye because I was so nervous. It was actually a joke. But I think it went really beautifully, didn't it?
It did, it did. Could not have asked for more, to be fair. But also, having my brothers, my sister, my cousins there at the time, because obviously I introduced Alex to them first because they're like my best friends, you know. That was a good point to start off with because we had mutual people there,
yeah,
automatically.
They broke the ice.
Yeah, they broke the ice. They kept things light. They kept, you know, it was fun moment. So I would, if you are in our situation and you want to introduce someone of a different culture,
or even if you're not.
Even if you're not, sorry.
I think like building those relationships before you kind of have that big step of meeting the parents is such a good idea.
Very
because
good
you've
idea.
Got then people like validating your decision or invalidating it maybe sometimes, but thankfully validating in our case.
But yeah, I think that was a big plus as well, having them around. It was great. And yeah, the first time it was a good day. I was very nervous. I'm not going to lie. I was quite nervous.
He said he wasn't, but he definitely was.
No. At the time, I thought, you know what? I've got my cousins there. Whatever happens, you know, it's gonna be fine. But during the day, because what made me nervous, I kept thinking, oh, is she okay? Is Alex all right? I hope this isn't too much. I was like really thinking about you. That's why I kept looking at you. I'm like, you're right. Are you okay? Are you okay? I had to keep checking in. But yeah, she took
it. But also, like, that kind of makes you more nervous.
I know,
keeps asking her if you're okay. I was like, yes, I'm fine. Stop asking. I'm good. But it's also like that kind of feeling of being in a different place. So your mum and auntie were really busy in the kitchen. They were cooking loads. The smells of the curry, like that. Obviously, I've cooked curry before, but not in the way that your mum and auntie cook. So, like, the smells of it, hearing everybody speaking Sinhala or Bengali, however you want to call it, hearing that and being surrounded, that was such a surreal experience. It felt like I'd, like, just been plonked in this place. And I was like, I love this, but this is so different for me.
Yeah. It must have been a lot to the senses, like smells, your ears, your sight. It's obviously, the sight is everyone's normal, but it's a completely different environment, different home that you've never been to. So it must have been a lot. But
it was also, sorry, just to add as well, even the fact that like your mum and auntie were in the kitchen the whole time. So like in Western society, if you go over to somebody's house, they will make some food maybe, you'd have some snacks, maybe make dinner, but the rest of the time they would be with you in the living room.
Yeah.
But your mum and auntie, now I know this is literally just them, they will spend the whole time in the kitchen because they're busy, but they love it.
Yeah.
So I was like constantly thinking, like, they're spending time in the kitchen. Do they not want to be near me? Like, is it weirding them out? Are they not okay with this? What's going on? Yeah. But actually...
But now you've grown to learn that's a part of the culture. Again, we've mentioned this lots in our vlogs and lots of our podcasts before, loads of episodes before, like, South Asian way of showing love is through food, so they want to make sure everything is the best that they could do. So they would always be in the kitchen perfecting every dish, bringing it out.
And my goodness, they were really perfecting that food. You will know that I talk about your mum and auntie's food all of the time because it is just so good.
Yeah,
it is so good.
Yeah,
that is probably apart from obviously the family.
Yeah,
the food, it's up there. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I was to marry you for one reason, it would be the food.
Like, say, the best way to someone's heart is through their belly.
Yeah, true.
I also, the beautiful thing after that as well, my auntie came out and she bought a chemise. And Alex has never worn one before.
No.
And she's like, oh, I bought something for Alex. And I'm like, oh, okay. I thought it might be just a small present. She's like, oh, I bought her a chemise. Do you wanna get her to wear it? And automatically, I didn't even ask Alex, and I thought, oh, this is going to be way too much. And I automatically kind of, I feel bad, but I kind of shut my auntie down. I said, no, it's going to be too much. It's her first time coming in. Let her, you know, get to know everyone. Then, you know, maybe next time she can wear something. And she's like, oh, okay, no problem. I just wanted to see if she wanted to. Okay, no problem. And then I went back and I asked you, and you're like, you didn't even let me finish. You're like, I'll wear it. I'm like, oh, really? I'm like, you don't have to. I had to keep asking you, like, telling you, like, you don't have to do it. Don't feel like you're pressured to wear it. You're like, no, I would love to wear it. So then I went back.
Because I was, like, really just, like, so happy that she'd bought me in. Like, I just thought it was the sweetest thing. Like, it's so kind, so thoughtful. Yeah. And I think kind of the point of this as well is, like, I decided on that day, you know, I was kind of talking about what to wear, and I know in South Asian communities, if you're going to meet your in-laws or something, you would normally wear traditional outfits, you'd kind of dress up. But I said to Afsa, like, when I meet them for the first time, I don't want to meet them in South Asian outfit, not because I don't like it, but because I want to come as me. Like, I want to see them to see who I am.
Yeah.
I don't want to come in kind of like with this facade of like, this is kind of how I'm presenting to meet you. So that was really important to me. However, that doesn't mean I don't want to wear it.
Yeah, true. But again, there's loads of people that, again, there's nothing wrong with you wearing something as an olive branch to look, you know, to do that. But again, for us, that was the way we wanted to go, and that's what we wanted to do, and we both agreed that's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Be yourself first, and then obviously
introduce
it slowly,
things.
You know. And again, I didn't want to ask Alex, yeah, you have to wear it on the first meeting, because again, it's going to be a little bit much for someone that's never really been around the family, and it's the first meeting.
I think it's uncomfortable.
And again, that worked for us.
Yeah.
But I know loads of other couples in our scenario, you know, the female might have wore a kameez and went in, and the family really appreciated it because they wanted to make a good impression.
It's so dependent on how you feel and how comfortable you feel. And I actually do think that that's a really beautiful thing to do as well.
Yeah,
so I think there's either side. That was just my personal feeling. It's like, I feel that I want to go in as myself and I want them to see me.
And
but if you give me a kameez, I'm going to jump at the option.
Now your wardrobe is absolutely rammed with them. Full of them.
They're everywhere. They're just hung up all around. We've got a spare bedroom, and they're just hung around the spare bedroom,
the
because
door,
I have nowhere to put them.
Everywhere.
On the door, the side of the wardrobe, they're everywhere.
And taking up half my wardrobe. But anyway, we don't want to get into that.
But they were so happy when I wore that, weren't
they? Yeah, when you wore it, they had the biggest smile on their face. They took pictures with you. They were so happy. They were like, oh, it was a beautiful moment. Honestly, it's probably one of the happiest moments of during our time. I absolutely loved it.
It was a beautiful moment.
And we got pictures from it, and then they were sending the pictures back home to my nan. And again, like Alex said, in South Asian Bangladeshi culture, you introduce a lady to your mum and dad, or mum and auntie, or your family. It means, you know, an engagement, a wedding is on the cards.
Yeah.
And it happened after.
It happened,
not,
yeah.
Not too long after.
We got engaged, and I think since then, that's where we kind of started building this online community.
Yeah.
Was sharing those first experiences of kind of bringing the cultures and religions together, and getting to know each other, and talking about the South Asian culture, and really embracing that community. And that's led us to the point where we are now, where we're now able to kind of build this podcast together and talk about different cultures and relationships and just life in general, and kind of navigate that. But I think some of my key takeaways from building our relationship to where it is now, and you can add and elaborate to this, but I definitely think being really open and informing the other person of your kind of wants, desires, but also like needs, if it's kind of culture or whatever,
definitely,
and really sharing that with each other and making sure you're transparent and not being scared. But also, it is about, you know, if Astrid said all the things that he was worried about on that first day we met, it would have been a no-go. Do you know what I mean? It is kind of seeing how things go and talking it through and helping each other. But then that leads on to that compromise.
Yeah.
If you were in a relationship, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I completely agree with you. You have to ease people in. You can't throw everything at once. It's just going to be too much for them. Again, it's all case by case basis. It depends on how long you've been getting to know that person. But I wouldn't advise, on the first time you start talking to them, here are everything that I need.
Yeah.
Here are everything that I want. These are non-negotiable. It's gonna really scare that person away and think, oh, where do I stand here?
Yeah, you know? Definitely.
But
So compromise, and just making sure that you're in a place where you feel that you're going to work. And this is not just in cultural relationships. This is in intercultural relationships. This is actually in any relationship. If you're meeting somebody the first time and you're getting to know them, like thinking, is this actually going to work? Are we, despite our differences morally, we are very similar.
Very similar.
We have a very similar outlook in life, and that's what makes it work for us. So I think it's kind of doing that, but also embracing each other and getting to know each other and being really familiar with their background and culture and everything.
And also, just to touch on it, like, I think my mum and my auntie, they saw how similar we were. We're very nurturing people.
We're the mums and dads of the group.
We are definitely, like, out of my friendship circle, I am like the dad. I look after everyone. I'm making sure everyone's getting home okay. And when I heard about you, you was doing exactly the same thing on your side and with your friends. So it kind of, when people say, how are you finding being together? Was there any issues? For me, I'll be very honest with you, being with Alex is like being with another version, a female version of me, and it's been so easy. And alhamdulillah, thank God, I thank God every day. Like, it's been, we've had a very, very good journey into marriage, and you know, we are very, very thankful for that. And I know it's not the same for everyone, and there are loads of hurdles, and I know there's going to be hurdles coming, you know, ahead of us. But again, if you're honest with each other and vulnerable,
non-judgmental,
you should be able to overcome those hurdles. And if you have a good set of family and friends as well that you know, that can lend their ear and help and advise, then you should be okay. So yeah, it's all about setting those things up, hopefully the future will go smoothly.
Definitely. That brings us to the end of this episode. A little touch on how we met and how we integrated our cultures and religions and got to the point where we are now, which we feel very blessed for. If you have any kind of messages, questions, stories that you want to share with us, or maybe you would like us to share them on our podcast,
yes,
please send us a DM or an email. We would love to hear from you. Drop it in the comments. Depending on which platform you are watching or listening on, please make sure you subscribe and follow. We are on our What AFSA? On YouTube?
Oh, Road to 1000.
Road to 1000, so make sure you subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. And we will see you in the next one. Bye.